This morning, Mark invites us into the life of healer Jesus. So as we consider this invitation, we look again at why Jesus has come. Mark tells us Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Now, Mark is also clear that the humans in this salvation story did not understand Jesus was the good news. It seemed only the demons recognized his divine nature and his mission, his big, hairy, audacious God purpose, the redemption of the world. Jesus continues to silence demons along the way so that the revelation of who Jesus is can come from our own hearts. We must personally come to understand through our own relationship with God and the one who came to redeem us and redeem the world. So where does the redemption of the world begin? In our passage this morning, Mark gives us the answer. It begins at home. Before Jesus crossed the portal into the house of Simon and Andrew, he had been baptized and received the Holy Spirit. He had been tested in the wilderness and cared for by angels. And he walked out of that wilderness proclaiming his mission in God's kingdom. On his way, he called disciples, the first two of which were Simon and Andrew, into whose home we are about to enter. So shall we accept the invitation and enter into the story? Jesus, Simon, Andrew, James, and John are in Capernaum. Jesus has been teaching in the synagogue, and in the midst of that teaching has cast out a demon. And so word begins to spread about this new teacher who can cast out demons, and people don't know by what authority he's doing it, but everyone seems to want to come and see. So as they leave the synagogue, preparing for the Sabbath, one might imagine Simon and Andrew saying to Jesus, "Jesus, our home is just around the corner, and we can rest there and have our Sabbath meal. There's always plenty, because we are a pretty large family." Now, have you ever been to a home like that? Have you ever been invited on the spur of the moment, and you wondered, are they going to have enough to feed me? And yet, you get there, and there seems to be this abundance of food. Well, Simon and Andrew, Simon's married, and we're going to find out in a minute, his mother-in-law lives there too. So we can imagine it was their home, Simon and Andrew. This was a pretty extensive family living under one roof. So I bet they prepared a big feast just before the Sabbath was to begin. So Jesus says yes, and off we go to their home. But just as they cross the threshold, we can imagine Simon's wife pulling Simon aside. "Simon, come here. Mom's sick. You're inviting guests into my home, and Mom is sick. Mom can't even help me fix dinner. What are you doing? We can't have..." And, you know, Andrew's got his ear in listening to what's going on, because this woman's pretty frantic that Simon's invited Jesus to dinner, and I got a sick mom. What am I going to do? So Simon and Andrew immediately tell Jesus, and Jesus says this, "I'm sorry, but your house has an infectious disease and you do not have hand sanitizer, so I'll come back and visit at a later date." No, that doesn't happen, at least not in my translation. Instead, Jesus immediately goes to his mother-in-law, to Simon's mother-in-law, and he does something we wouldn't do unless we'd had our hand sanitizer or gloves on. He touches her. He takes her by the hand, and he lifts her up. This is the very first healing in the book of Mark. Her fever is gone, and she is healed by the touch of Jesus, by his hand reaching and lifting her up. And what does she do? What does she do? Her choice is to return to the work in her home that she has been called to do, and not only serve her family, but serve her guests. She serves Jesus. Because the touch of the Master's hand brought healing into her life. And her response is to serve. So after they've eaten, Jesus gets word that there's a crowd outside. So he might want to say, excuse me, but my work is done. I'm here in the house. I'm going to bed. But instead, because this crowd is gathered after the Sabbath, he steps out and he begins to heal and he begins to cast out demons. He spends, we don't know how far into the night this man continues to bring healing. So healing began in the home and moved outside into the community. And he continues his healing presence. And then at some point, we guess he had to say to them, please go home. I'm ready to go to bed. I'm not really certain how gently Jesus told them, it's time for me to go to sleep. But at some point, I'm sure he got some sleep. But then we hear Mark tells us what he does in the wee hours of the morning. The sun hasn't even risen, so he can't get out his camera and take a snapshot of a beautiful sunrise. It is still dark, and he goes off to a deserted place to pray. Jesus recognizes that his healing power comes because of a relationship he has with the God who called him and created him. And he spends some time in prayer. He spends enough time that I'm assuming the sun has come up because the disciples are now looking for him. So I'm assuming the crowd has once again gathered around Peter and Simon and Andrew's house, and they're all eager and waiting for him to come out and heal them to continue what he had done. But Jesus doesn't do that. When they find him and they tell him, hey, we got a crowd outside the house. We're calling for you. It's time. He says, did you get this? I thought this was rather interesting. He says, let us go to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do. Jesus started in his home. He moved to the community, and he's traveling to the world. But what we also notice in the midst of this, not everyone got healed, did they? Because he leaves a crowd still seeking healing behind. He could have made a choice here. He could have chosen to go where the crowd wanted him to be, or he could have chosen to follow his Father's call on his life. As we travel back from that moment to here in Plank Chapel and look around and see all the disciples in our midst, we might ask ourselves, who were we in this story? Were we Simon, a disciple who would lead? Are we leading people to the healing power of Jesus? Are we bringing Jesus to people who need to be healed, as Simon brought Jesus to his mother-in-law? Do we need healing? Are we his mother-in-law? Are we the one with a fever or with a sickness? Is our soul hurting? Is this a day when we need to feel that healing touch of the Master? Or are we the one who recognizes what happened when Jesus touched our hearts and changed our lives? That after we are healed, are we the one who is serving those who are serving others? Are we serving Jesus in our homes? Are we serving Jesus in our workplace? Are we serving Jesus in our communities? I think about where we have touched and reached out in our community through some of our mission projects as we feed those who are homeless in a shelter at the Presbyterian Church, as we are beginning a partnership with City Road that is teaching young people and tutoring them in their church, as we bring food for Acts, as we bring food for Coventry, as we bring food for the greater ransom way of the cross temple, as we reach across our neighbor's boundary and care for our neighbor in need with whatever they may be calling upon us for. Have we been healed and serve in our community? Are we serving in a mission field where God has called us to? Can you hear where God is calling you? Our youth have been spending many times packaging food for Stop Hunger Now, have provided hours of service so that they could have funds to give to Imagine No Malaria. We're starting an Imagine No Malaria campaign for our Lenten bags. And to think that $10 buys a mosquito net. And since mosquitoes bite at night, we're saving a life because the child sleeping under that net is protected from the malaria-carrying mosquito. So where are we serving Jesus? Here, around the world? And are we following in the footsteps of Jesus, our Savior? Are we beginning our days in prayer as Jesus began his days in prayer? Are we taking the time to energize ourselves? It's important for us to recognize that we can sometimes call upon those who serve to serve and serve and serve. And how many of you don't know the word no? I have trouble with no. Jesus reminds us in this passage that no is okay, that sometimes you don't go back to the crowd. And all the time, you go and spend some Sabbath time with your Lord. Jesus reminds us that even though we are called and following him means to care for ourselves. How many of you been in a plane and heard that stewardess, depending on how well they tell it, or if it's a video now we get videos, that if you have young people with you, you put on the oxygen mask first, and then you care for the ones beside you. Jesus reminds us as followers of Christ, as disciples in a mission field, that the first person we should take care of is ourself, so that we can serve those we are called to serve. Are we following Jesus, or are we catering to the needs of the crowd, then becoming distracted from the purpose God has called us to? Jesus had a purpose. Sharing the gospel, the good news of the salvation of the world, of the kingdom of God here at hand to the world. He could have easily been distracted by the crowd in need. But what he told his disciples who wanted him to go back, that's not where I'm called. I'm called to go. To go. Where is Jesus calling us, either individually as a church? Do we get distracted by petty details? Do we get distracted by the crowd? Do we get distracted by things that move us away from the purpose that God has called us here in this place? I'm going to ask the leaders and all of us that when we're in meetings and we hear us getting distracted by details, the question needs to be, how does this advance the kingdom of God? How are we moving in the direction God is calling us to as we continue the conversation or debate we are currently having? If we get distracted from what God is calling us to do here, we'll lose our sense of purpose and we might lose our way and we might be back in that bed needing the healing touch of Jesus again. And brothers and sisters in Christ, that happens continually in the life of faith, that we tend to follow our GPS, which sometimes leads us the wrong way, rather than follow where God is calling us to go. And the wonderful thing is, all we have to do is come back to the feet of Jesus, bow before him, and ask for a healing. And God's Son, Jesus Christ, will reach out his hand. He will take you by the hand and lift you up, dust you off, and send you on your way to serve. So, healing and ministry first starts in our home, moves to our community, and then reaches out into the world. Are you ready to follow Jesus? Are you ready to be healed? Then come. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.